ERISA will not be the cause of the coming stock market crash. ERISA, Enron, and the coming giant crash are really only the symptoms of a much deeper problem. In this section, we get to the real reason behind Rich Dad's prophecy. Social Security and Medicare are having problems. The Clinton administration's fiscal 2000 budget report stated, "Government trust funds do not consist of real economic assets that can be used in the future to fund benefits." In other words, the government is finally admitting that there really is no Social Security Trust Fund. It is a figment of our imagination. Is Social Security merely a modified Ponzi scheme? In America today, every employee looks at their pay stub, and they see 7.65% of their pay matched by the employer's 7.65%, for a total of nearly 15.3% going to Social Security and Medicare. Every employee is hoping that after retirement, they will be on the receiving end. They can be if there are enough employees still at the front door turning in their money. The problem is, because people are living longer, there are more and more retired people waiting at the back door. Is this a scheme that works as long as there are more people at the front door than the back door? For decades, the federal government has borrowed and spent the Social Security surplus, the difference between Social Security's tax revenues and outlays. The government replaces the money it borrows with IOUs in the form of U.S. Treasury bonds. In the year 2000, when the Clinton administration came clean and published that statement, the statement fundamentally saying that there really is no trust fund, it marked the first time that the government finally acknowledged that there is a problem. The Social Security system worked fine when it began in the late 1930s, when there were 42 workers for every one Social Security recipient. In the year 2000, the number was 3.4 workers per one recipient. By 2016, according to the Commission's report, Social Security will collect less money in tax revenues than it pays out. 2016 is the same year that the first of the baby boom generation turned 70, a jump of 700,000 people turning 70 in that year alone. And those statistics do not include the numbers they expect to die before 70. So that means 700,000 living people. And the number of people over 70 years of age will continue to increase with each subsequent year. In 2002, politicians are proposing that younger workers be allowed to invest money either in a personal savings account or the stock market. If this law passes, that will mean even less money entering the system for older retirees. If this law passes, that means Social Security begins to run at a negative well before 2016. Rich Dad saw that the real cause for concern was that the issue of personal financial survival after retirement was being pushed forward. That is why he repeatedly said, "ERISA is my generation passing on its problems to your generation." One of the more important lessons Rich Dad taught his son and me was the difference between a business person and a government bureaucrat. Rich Dad said, "A business person is a person who solves financial problems. If they do not solve their financial problems, they are out of business. If a government bureaucrat cannot solve a problem, a bureaucrat can afford to push the problem forward." Rich Dad said, "Governments solve many problems for the good of society. It is the government that uses our tax dollars to provide military defense, fight fires, provide police protection, build roads, provide schools and welfare for the needy. But there are problems that government cannot solve, and those problems are pushed forward, often becoming bigger and bigger problems. This problem of financial survival once a person's working years are over is a monster of a problem that is growing bigger. The problem constantly grows bigger because too many people expect the government to solve what is really a personal financial problem." As the problem of retirement became too complex to solve, laws were passed to pass the expense of retirement on to the next generation. In other words, programs such as Social Security and ERISA were created to pass the expense of the care of one generation on to future generations. Then, in 1996, a new D.C. investment plan entered the market. It is the Roth IRA, named after the senator who championed it. The Roth IRA was a new D.C. plan designed only for the middle class. If you are rich, you are not allowed to have one. Soon after the Roth IRA came out, Diane Kennedy, my tax advisor and author of Loopholes of the Rich, called me. She was very concerned about this new D.C. plan. She explained to me that the Roth IRA was once again pushing the problem forward, this time from the baby boom generation to the future generations. According to Diane, the Roth IRA was primarily created to collect more taxes. She said, "If you will notice, there was a surplus of money in the budget soon after the Roth IRA was passed. I suspect the Clinton administration passed this law because they needed more taxes and wanted to create the illusion that they were doing a good job. The problem is, when the baby boomers begin to retire, it is their kids who will have to pay those taxes to make up for the future budget shortfalls. In other words, the problem has been passed forward again." Almost immediately, the Roth IRA was the darling of the middle class. They loved the idea of paying taxes now, but being allowed to pull out the gains tax-free in the future. Because the market was going up in 1996, many people saw this Roth IRA as a gift from heaven. Money began pouring into these new IRAs and directly into an already overheated stock market. The market took off like a rocket ship.